Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Welcome to the State of the Race. It is June 28th, 2024. 17 days until the Republican National Convention, 52 days until the Democratic National Convention, which is more important than ever, that countdown, isn't it? And the election is 130 days away. Coming up, Biden collapses in the prediction markets after a catastrophe of a debate. Dems are now looking around for an ejection seat. And if they do want to replace Joe Biden, how does it happen? It's all coming up on today's episode. We're going to start with key metrics, and a lot of times we will lead off with some of the polling averages, some of the new polls that have come out, and look into those in our key metrics segment. But really, you know, of course, the debate happened last night. There's no polling that reflects the movement in the debate yet. We know it was a catastrophe for Joe Biden. Nobody's even arguing that. I mean, you know, the New York Times had a list of 12 people who... None of them. These are people who will say literally anything to support progressivism. And none of them said Joe Biden won the debate. There was a poll from CNN based on people who watched the debate and what their reaction was, who won, who lost. Well, Donald Trump won by a massive margin, 67 to 33. Now, it's amazing that 33% of people could possibly be living in that sort of bizarre alternate universe. But to put this in perspective, Republicans always lose these polls. I mean, the last time I can remember a Republican winning one of these post-debate polls was probably Mitt Romney in the first debate against Barack Obama. If you remember, Obama came out, had a real rough night. Romney did pretty well. He was bad after that in the other two debates. But the first one, he really did stomp on Barack Obama. And if I remember right, he slightly won that poll, nothing like 67 to 33. Donald Trump has had five previous presidential debates with Democrats. He's lost all five of the post-debate polls. It just doesn't happen. Winning 67 to 33 is absolutely incredible. We will get into the effects on the polling and how this moves the actual election, which is really the important thing here. All the stuff we're going to go into when it comes to reaction from people is important. But if the polls don't move, if this is just a blip and people just don't pay attention to it, we may have a much more complicated situation. Now, I want to go over to the prediction markets, which is interesting. Polymarket is one of them. They are a pretty active prediction market. And again, what a prediction market does not tell you the future per se. It tells you what people think the future will look like today. So this is a real snapshot of what people think. And It's not a snapshot like when you might ask a poll of experts or even a poll of regular voters. I mean, like, there's no way 33% of people thought Donald Trump lost that debate to Joe Biden last night. But there's a chunk of people who are just going to say Joe Biden won because they want Joe Biden to be president, right? Like, they want the Democrat to win or they want Trump to lose. So they're going to say that no matter what. There's always a massive chunk. One of the good things about prediction markets is you can basically suck that out of the picture most of the time. Why? Well, people are putting their money where their mouth is. Now, there are people who have their perception of what's going on very much skewed by their partisan beliefs. That's real. However, it is a real belief. Like, they might be wrong on that belief, but they believe their guy's going to win, and they're willing to put their money on the line. When people put their money on the line, you tend to get their real opinion. Now, before the debate, Joe Biden had a maximum of about 45% chance of winning. He was always a slight underdog to Donald Trump, but not a huge one. He had dropped in the past few weeks all the way down to 35, which is low. And again, you could say this isn't necessarily reflective of everyone in the world. These are people who are going, you know, they're crypto bros. Some of them are out there betting on gambling on elections, which, by the way, I think should is just a lot of fun. But that had dropped to about 35%. Now, after the debate went from 35 to 20. 20. They are saying Joe Biden has a 20% chance of being president of the United States after this election. Now, that doesn't mean that Donald Trump has an 80% chance. There are other candidates, you know, the Gavin Newsoms of the world, the Kamala Harrises of the world, the Michelle Obamas of the world are all kind of there and also have a chance. Trump's percentage is going up considerably. But even if you look at just the Democratic nominee, who will be the Democratic nominee for president? This should be easy, right? Joe Biden's already won the primary. He's already gone through these battles. He's already basically the nominee. He was on stage in a presidential debate last night. That's how sure we are he's going to be the nominee. Now, there was always an allocation there for the possibility of, God forbid, Joe Biden dying, having a health problem or whatever. There was always an outlying possibility that was maintained in the polls. I think he had a 91% chance of being the Democratic nominee before the debate kicked in. And to compare that with Trump, who's only a few years younger than him, he had a 99% chance. Like, that's where it should be. But you look at Joe Biden, you realize there's an outlying possibility he might not be able to get through this. Well, it went from 91 down to only a 62% chance. 62% chance to be the nominee of a party whose primary he's already won. A 62% chance to be the nominee for a party in which he participated as the nominee in a presidential debate. This is unprecedented times a thousand, and it's happening right in front of our eyes. Okay, let's move on to our candidate updates. And, you know, Trump's strategy, we're not going to spend too much time on Trump. Trump did a good job. He did what he had to do. His strategy, and this is from Time magazine, Trump's debate strategy, let Biden bury himself. Yes, this is exactly what his strategy should have been. He had a couple good lines. He had a couple good answers, was good on the economy, was good on immigration, had a couple great moments, like, for example, the one where he said, I don't even know what that guy just said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows either, to emphasize Biden's struggles. But what he needed to do there was get out of the way. And that's not Trump's instinct, as we know. He likes to control the conversation, control the media, control the attention. In very, very smart fashion, he decided to let that go last night. And that was a massive reason he was successful. But let me go through some of the reaction here, because I've never seen anything like it. I've been doing this a long time. I've never seen reaction like this before. Democrats are very, very, very disciplined to not let things like this occur. They don't allow, I mean, for the past 3 years, everyone's seen what's been going on with Joe Biden and his age. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Joe Scarborough just 3 months ago was saying not only was he cogent, he was the best he had ever been. In his 81 years, Joe Biden had never been in a better state than he was 3 months ago. That is how bought into this obvious lie these people were. Today, Joe Scarborough is saying, hey, time to step down. Amazing. Let me give you a sampling here. Dropping out is Biden's most patriotic option, from The Atlantic. Joe Biden is a good man and a good president. He must bow out of the race. This is in the New York Times from Thomas Friedman. These are big names on the Democratic side. Biden's debate failure may mean it's time to step aside. According to Bloomberg, Biden debate performance is nightmare for Democrats, a story in The Hill. Joe Biden's horrific debate performance casts his entire candidacy into doubt, from The Economist. Joe Biden set all the rules in the debate and still got trounced by Donald Trump, from Vanity Fair. Biden must go, from Current Affairs. Joe Biden could save his legacy by ending his candidacy. That's from Vox. Nate Silver, Joe Biden should drop out. How about the story from the New York Times covering tons of Democratic insiders? It's entitled A Fumbling Performance and a Panicking Party. President Biden's shaky, halting debate performance has Democrats talking about replacing him on the ticket. This is the main story from the New York Times talking about this movement that is developing. And it's important to note who they gave the story to. It wasn't just one of their, you know, junior reporters. They gave it to Peter Baker. Peter Baker is the guy. He is the chief White House correspondent for the New York Times. He has covered the last five presidents. He's been doing this forever. He's tied into every one of these Democrats' campaigns. He knows everybody. The fact that he's the one doing this, saying, this is real. This is a real movement. This is really happening. John Stewart begs for recreational drugs to cope with debate disaster. Van Jones, on the verge of tears, says Biden should be replaced if he will let us. And that was, I mean, again, a real moment from Van Jones, who's actually pretty good on television. I don't want him in control of the government, but he's pretty good on television. And his point basically was, I love Joe Biden. I worked with him. He's great, but this has got to stop. Congress Democrats in state of shock over Biden debate performance from Axios. Let me give you this. This is, I woke up this morning. I wanted to see the insider reaction from Washington, D.C. And I decided to go to Politico. Now, Politico is a left-wing publication, obviously. It is not some conservative bastion. Let me give you the app's homepage. Just the headlines. All in a row here. Democrats really have no way to spin this. We break down Biden's disastrous debate. It was rough. Story number one. Story number two. WTF. Panicked Dems start looking for alternatives to Biden. Headline three. Here's how Democrats could replace Biden. Headline four. Democrats hoped the debate would reset the campaign, but not like this. That's number four. Number five. Or what was that? Number one, two, three, four. Yeah, five. The movement to convince Biden to not run is real. That's by Jonathan Martin, one of their big reporters. How about Jeff Greenfield? The worst debate performance in American history. I could go on and on and on here. President Biden, I've seen enough. This is from Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times. Frank Bruni had a similar column. Over and over and over again. Major figures in the Democratic Party have stepping up and saying publicly, people like Joy Reid acknowledging this. It's absolutely incredible. Who could possibly have seen this coming? Well, a lot of conservatives did say he was going to be very, very bad. I will say I thought he was going to be bad. I could have never imagined they would put him on stage like that. I can't believe they would risk it. That what they should have done, if that is who he's going to be, is say, he's not feeling well, let's do this in a few weeks. They should have said, they should have intentionally faked a car accident on the way to the arena. Anything to get yourself out of that. Unless, of course, you want to replace him. And that's what's going to be the focus of our Today's Focus segment. How would it happen? Can it happen? How can it happen? If you want to replace Joe Biden, how does this occur? Can you do it? And honestly, if you're Joe Biden, how do you survive this? Because Biden wants to be president of the United States. Jill really wants him to be president of the United States. So what is the most likely way that this could happen? Let me give you some scenarios from most to least likely. And you've probably heard a bunch of these talked about. Some of them are realistic. Some of them are not so realistic. Let's start with convince. By far, the most likely situation here is that you go to Joe Biden, people like Barack Obama, Ron Klain, there's a rumor of a meeting already going on between them, and you go to them and you say, hey, Joe, we love you. You're a great man, but age comes for everybody. And unfortunately, despite all your amazing accomplishments and everything else, you know, the American people are looking at you and saying, you're too old to do this. And I know it's not fair. I know they're not right. I know you can do it. We've been in meetings with you. Of course you could do it. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump might be president of the United States. You appeal to his legacy. You appeal to the future of the Democratic Party. You appeal to him on the basis of the dangers of a Trump presidency. You use every tool you can to convince him to step down, because basically, it's almost impossible if he doesn't go along with it. Not entirely. We'll get into how that can happen in just a second. But number one, you go to him with people he trusts. You plea. You try to switch Jill Biden into someone telling him as well, it's time to step down. So that's number one. Second most likely. you threaten him. And I know this sounds a little crazy, but we're in crazy times here. You basically go house of cards on Joe Biden. You go to him and you say, you know what, Joe, you need to step down. And let me just point out a couple things to you. We'd be really, really sad to see Hunter Biden in prison for the next 20 years. We'd be really, really sad to see some of these details that we know about your finances come out. We'd be really, really sad to see support from your own appointees down the line through justice and judges and prosecutors who all of a sudden are finding all this information that's come out from Republicans to be quite credible. We'd be really sad to see the fact that maybe that Corvette you bought was with money you might not, maybe you shouldn't have had. All these things can be put on to Joe Biden with all sorts of back-end pressure by Democrats behind closed doors. Now, look, a lot of this is sort of movie-type stuff, but it can happen. And if they really want to replace him, they can go to that solution quite quickly. The next step, I think the third most likely, is to leak. And this wouldn't necessarily get Joe Biden to step down from being president right now, which he should. But what you're going to do here is leak to the media that Biden has agreed behind closed doors that he will step down immediately after the election. After he is sworn in, after that's all over, he will step in, he will step down, and Kamala Harris will step in as president of the United States. Now, look, Kamala's the only option in this scenario. She's not ideal. But if you could convince the American people, particularly Democratic voters, that basically what they're doing is voting for Kamala Harris, you get Joe Biden to step down without him stepping down. Now, in this scenario, he's already said, I'm not stepping down publicly and privately. So he will come out publicly and say this is a lie. He will say it's untrue. He will have some of his supporters also say it's untrue. The key part of this is to get big-time, well-respected people on the inside to say that's all part of the act. He's not going to win this election if he says he's going to step down. So we've told him, look, you know, you can't say that you're going to step down, but we all know, we've all agreed this is definitely going to happen come January or February. So don't worry about it. If that can sweep across the Democratic side and you say basically, actually, you're voting for Kamala here, maybe they have a chance to keep this together. And then you deal with whether he's going to step down or not once you win. I think that's something that can at least win over some voters on the left that might doubt Biden's abilities here. If you could just convince them, actually, this is really just a Kamala election, we just can't say it out loud, that can be another approach. And you can combine some of these approaches, by the way. You know, they're not just individually standing. The next one is, you know, again, knowing Democrats more likely than you'd think, just do it. Right? Yeah, sure, none of the rules allow you to do it, but just do it anyway. I mean, we've seen the student loan forgiveness situation. We've seen DACA. At times, Democrats will just be like, who cares what the rules say? Let's just do it. And, you know, if you kind of apply that approach to the convention, well, you can make it happen with delegates. You can go to these individual delegates and say, I know you're committed to Joe Biden. You're going to vote for Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama or whoever else you come up with. That is going to be what you're going to do. You twist arms, you pressure them, you threaten their careers, you do everything you can to get them to switch. Now, these are people who are dedicated to Biden, so it's going to be very, very difficult to do this. But if you get a certain level of approval rating, I think I mentioned it on this podcast, I think that level's around 29%. You get sub 30 approval rating, you're in real, real trouble. If something like that happens, it would be very difficult. It would also overturn the will of the voters, which would be, again, quite a thing to try to do. Most likely, this effort would not be successful. There are some rules and regulations that link these delegates to Joe Biden. But with superdelegates in the Democratic Party, along with switching these votes for some of these people who might not have legal penalties, it's theoretically possible you could just do it. And again, these rules are made up by the Democratic Party. So if they want to just change them at any point, they probably will, right? So there is the just do it approach. And the last one I think is the least likely is the 25th Amendment. Now, Chip Roy was on the radio show earlier today. He wants the 25th Amendment to be imposed. I do too, mainly because I'm worried about the next 6 or 7 months, right? Like, I'm worried about him in office over the next 5 or 6 months and what could happen. He's incompetent to do this job, so we need to find a way to stop him from doing this job immediately. That is really, really important. But think about it. You're going to have to get Kamala Harris. You're going to have to get the cabinet on board. Is that possible? It's possible. Kamala might see herself, obviously, as president of the United States, so maybe you could get her the cabinet. She probably has some allies there, but they're also Biden loyalists, so you'd have to get them to turn on Biden. Incredibly difficult. It is unprecedented. It's never been utilized. It would be challenged in court like crazy. And maybe the biggest part of this is it doesn't actually take him off the ballot. He would still be, in theory, the nominee of the party. He could, even after being removed through the 25th Amendment, actually run again and win, in theory. Now, they'd have to impeach him and remove him to stop him running again. Do you think the Democrats are going to do that? Seems super duper unlikely in my book. So I think that one is a real, real long shot, though it will be talked about. A couple of other things I want to hit here before we go as it relates to this. Number one, there are laws in place to prevent you from switching your candidate at this late stage. Not every state has them. Many have no rules at all on this. However, there are key swing states that do have laws on the books that would really affect this particular race. Let me give you three of them. Number one, and you know, a massively important swing state as we go into the election, is Wisconsin. Wisconsin does not allow you to change the name of the nominee on the ballot. It's too late. The only way you can change it is if your candidate dies. That is it. Now, of course, will they try to change this rule? They could. However, with a Republican legislature, it's super unlikely. So Wisconsin, they may just have to punt on, basically give up on Wisconsin. How do you win an election doing that? It's very difficult. Nevada is another one. Nevada, no changes can be made to the ballot after 5 p.m. on the fourth Friday in June. That's today, if you're listening to this the day it's posted. We are talking about a situation that's not going to happen. They're not going to rally the forces, I don't think, in the next few hours to make this happen. So the only way you get out of that one is death of the candidate, or if the candidate is adjudicated as insane or mentally incompetent. Now, we can all look at Joe Biden, and yes, I would adjudicate he is insane or mentally incompetent, but that, we're talking about a court having to do that. Would Joe Biden go along with that? I can't imagine it. I mean, again, really real long shot. Could they just change this rule like they just do sometimes? Maybe, but there's a Republican governor there, which really complicates that situation. Also, Georgia's another one that has rules on this, though they have more time on this. It's 60 days before the election before they have to change that. But all this piles up as and makes it a little bit more difficult. So let me leave you with this. How does Joe Biden survive it? Well, first of all, you make it through the next few days. You get to the July 4th holiday. You argue that they need to see what the polls will say. I know it was a bad performance, but let's see how the polls actually reflect it. You twist arms behind the scenes from anyone going on record, especially public officials and elected officials. You stop a movement of public officials from coming out and saying he should step down publicly. That wave hits you, like kind of like it did with Nixon. It's almost unstoppable at that point. Then you hope the polls don't completely crush you. And that is possible. We live in a really polarized world that moves on from news stories really quickly. If you can survive 2 or 3 weeks, the polls move by 3 or 4 points, you could probably survive this. You hope the approval rating stays above 30. Maybe it starts to rebound slowly as people sort of leave this in the rearview mirror. You get to the convention, maybe you try to do better in the next debate. I mean, at this point, we're basically saying figure out how to be a wizard and implement black magic, but that's where we are. He can get through this. It's certainly possible, but it is going to be a tough road. This is the worst performance in a debate we've ever seen in all of our lifetimes in American history. And it is something that has shaken up this race in ways we could not have projected just the other day. That's why we have State of the Race, to keep you updated on this as it comes. As these polls come out, we will do a deep dive for you as well, as much as we can during the week. Just follow the Stu Does America feed, and you will get each one of the bonus pod, State of the Race podcast delivered right to you. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you later.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.